Kof Beis Teves, Sunday the 3rd of January, Rabbi Yosef Greenwald, Goodbye Boss, Poel Yochel Lachsabo, Afilu Bechatzi Hayom.
Theme of the parshas that we're involved in this period of the year, the parshas of the Shibud in Mitzrayim, and then the going out of Mitzrayim, and the creation of Klal Yisrael in the sense of standing by Har Sinai, receiving the Torah, implementing the Torah, building the Mishkan. The pasuk tells us as a general theme, what's the purpose of all the events that transpired in these parshas, and the Torah tells us that the purpose Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Tavdun Esoalikim Malahor Azeh. The purpose is in order to be Avdei Hashem, to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the sense of being an Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Torah tells us later on, in Parshas Bahar, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim. Klal Yisrael is defined, in general, as Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is an idea, and it's an inspirational concept to live with. We dance with this on Simchas Torah, no avda de kud shabarichu. But the Gemara, in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Zayin, uses this as a very real basis for understanding much of how we view ourselves in the context of our daily life, in Halacha Lamaisa and in Hashkofa. The Gemara says, since the Pasuk says, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, if the Torah tells us Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodim la'Hashem, v'loy avodim la'avodim. In the sense, since we are avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our only sense of self-definition of who we're employed by is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, says the Gemara, v'loy avodim la'avodim. One, a Yid cannot be defined, or is not allowed to be defined, or mustn't define himself as an Eved la'avodim, to a man. He cannot be enslaved by a man, he can only be enslaved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we understand that being enslaved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is freedom itself. Being enslaved to another human being is enslavement. In that context, the Gemara understands, we understand the Rashi in the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim, when an Eved Ivrit chose to extend his stay as an Eved beyond the regular 6 years, and he chose to stay until Yovel, he was near Tzabaozdom. The Gemara says, "Oizin zu sheshoma barasinai ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim v'loy avodim la'avodim." That ear needs a fitting midr k'neged midr. The halacha l'maisa that the Gemara learns out in this context of v'loy avodim la'avodim is the halacha as a general rule. And we're Yitzchak Hashem going to try to bring it down to halacha l'maisa that since ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim v'loy avodim la'avodim, the Gemara learns out. Which means that a person who, so to speak, is employed by another, a master, so to speak, of flesh and blood, not only his master above, but a master in this world, in that context, the halacha is that he can't be enslaved to the point where he can't walk away. Being in any contractual obligation with an earthly boss, that's why we call the shaykh goodbye boss, in the context where I'm meshubit to somebody else, where I take marching orders from somebody else who's a boss of a dom, and not only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a stira to my sense of self-definition as an Eved Hashem. What does that mean for us in Halacha L'maisa? The Gemara says that, let's say, the regular classic example of a poil in the times of Chazal was a person who was hired, somebody, a Ruvain had fields, he had tzodes for Kerovim, and he would hire workers to go out into the field, do a day's work. In that context, he's a Shimon, even though he contractually obligated himself to work a full day for, let's say, whatever his wages are of a full day, he's allowed to walk away in the middle. He has a contractual obligation with Shimon. He's allowed to walk away in the middle of the day. It can't be otherwise. It can't be that Shimon has to work for Ruvain. By definition, the definition of Shimon having to, being forced to work for Reuven, is a stira to Eved Hashem. And it has to be that way that Shimon could walk away in the middle of the day. What does it mean being able to walk away in the middle of the day? For example, obviously, if Shimon was hired by Reuven for a full day's work, let's say to the sum of 100 pounds, if he walks away in the middle of the day, we'll receive 50. We'll divide up. Let's put that into more modern-day concept. Anybody who has a job, anybody who's taken a job, a regular 9-to-5 job working for a boss, if we're talking about a contractual obligation between two yidden, since the halacha is v'lo yavodim la'avodim, poel yochel lachza b'em tzayoyim, Shulchan Aruch tells us, the halachas are discussed by Richus in Chosh Mishpat, Simin Shin Lam Gimel, and in that Simin, Shulchan Aruch elaborates on the fact that if a person has a contractual obligation, he's allowed to walk away from the job in the middle. What the Gemara does is very interesting. The Gemara defines for us two types of employer-employee relationships. There's something what's called in halacha, there's something called a poel, and there's something called a kavla. In the basic sense, in its most basic sense, the difference between a poel and a kavla, and a poel is bound to certain hours. That means if I take a job, I'm used to, as an American, I'm used to calling things 9-to-5. I think over here the hours are somewhat different. Same thing over here. If I'm obligated to certain hours to sit behind the desk, or let's say even if it's a avodas hakodesh, a malamid, working for a moisid, somebody working as an administrator, somebody working as a principal of a school, and he's working for somebody higher up than him. In the sense that I'm meshubed to that 9-to-5 job, I am a poel, I'm working for him specific hours, and in that sense, I'm allowed to quit in the middle of the year. I'll have to be paid. The boss will not be able to come over to me with a tiner and say, you walked off the job in the middle, I'm not paying you, or I'm paying you less. No. Halacha defines that he has a right to walk away in the middle of the job, and he has to be paid in full for the job that he did. Now, this something about this sounds not right, which means that every employer is not protected. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. But just first for definition. I'm sorry? So there's something that sounds not yashistic. The Gemara is going to cut this halacha down to size in order that everybody's interests and rights and schusim should be protected. But first let's concentrate on the definition. A poel means somebody who is meshubed on, let's say, on a 9-to-5 basis. A kablon in halacha is a worker who's not meshubed, so to speak, for certain hours. A kablon is somebody who's meshubed to a job. That means that when I'm a poel for somebody, my hours belong to him. In that sense, the Chazal defined that as Eved Le'Eved. I am bound. It's not me, obviously. He doesn't own the flesh and blood. He can't marry me off. He can't dictate how I lead my life. But in a certain sense, I'm Meshubet to him. If I'm Meshubet to him and I can't walk away in the middle, that's a steerer to that Muslim of being Eved only Lashem. A Kablan is somebody who's really his own boss. He's hired by somebody else, a Ruvain, instead of being Meshubet to Shimon, is really working for himself. What he's providing for Shimon is he's providing a service for Shimon. For instance, if somebody has a job, let's say where he has to design, let's say a designer, he has to design a kitchen. Or an accountant, let's say, has a job where he has to finish off a certain case, a certain file, work on a tax return, and give that back to the client. Does he have a commitment that his time is owned by his employer? No. He could work on his own time. If he's interested, he could go one day on vacation, and he could work, he could burn the midnight oil, and that night he could work from 3 to 7. In that sense, he's his own boss. He's providing, in order to provide for himself, he's providing a service for somebody else. That difference is called poel and kavlan. Chazal tell us that a poel yochel lachza b'emtzayim, kavlan cannot be choyza b'emtzayim. Which would mean to tell us that a poel, if he quits in the middle of the day, the middle of the term, the middle of the month, the middle of the year, whatever it is, will have to be paid in full for the time that he worked. A kavlon, if somebody offered, let's say, to custom design a kitchen for me, he's supposed to build that in the shop, and then he's going to provide me that, he's going to provide me with the full service that was contracted for. If he stops in the middle, then I could say to him, I didn't hire you to design for me a half a kitchen. I didn't design for you to custom make me a half a suit. I contracted with you to provide me with a full suit, with a full kitchen, with a full tax return, with a full case, let's say, that has to be taken care of in court, if he's a lawyer. In that sense, really, I wouldn't have to pay him at all, because he's done only half the job, and I've contracted with him for the full job. The only reason why I would be responsible to pay him for the half the job that he did is only what's called in halacha a nene. Nene means that enech nami is not working for me. I contracted with him to provide me a full service, not a half a service. But since lemaisa, when I hire somebody else, I'll have to pay that person less, so mainly he's provided a service for me even though he wasn't hired. Sometimes we have an halacha where somebody provides a service for somebody else, even though there was no contractual obligation between the two of them, he'll have to pay him whatever he was mahana him, whatever benefit he gave. Now, the difference is very simple. Bederech klal, if somebody designed a half a kitchen or did a half a day, did a half a job, bederech klal, nobody wants to, let's say, I hire a roofer, or I hire somebody to do a home renovation, to add on a room to the back of my house. Bederech klal, if that person quits in the middle, which is quite common, circumstance came up, he got a bigger job, he wants to quit in the middle, it's not worth it for him, the time, he wants to quit in the middle. In that sense, if he walks away in the middle, how much will I have to pay? Let's say the whole job was £10,000. How much will I have to pay somebody else to pick up the slack and do the second half of the work? Usually not 5,000. It's usually going to cost more. Most people don't take a half a job. He'll charge 7, he'll charge 8. In that sense, how much hano did I have from the first fellow who worked for me? Much less. Instead of 5,000, which is half the job, I'll only have to pay him 2 or 3,000. Masha'en came by a poyo, since he has the right to walk away in the middle. In that sense, if he walks away in the middle, I have to pay him for half the job. So if he has a job 9 to 5 working for me, and that job was a contract of 6 months from 9 to 5 for £10,000, I will have to pay him £5,000. Now, in answer to your question, obviously does that mean that somebody could walk off in the middle of the job and leave me having to scramble in the middle of the term to hire a teacher at a 50% rise? Or have to, in order to convince somebody to take the job, have to pay a much steeper rate? No. The question is, why would I be obligated to have to pay the $5,000 if I'm taking a loss? In that context, Chazal tell us that the truth of the matter is that if his walking off in the middle of a job will cause me a definitive hefsid, there he's not allowed to. The Torah gives a person a right as self-definition, to define himself as his own employer, not employed by another master of Bos of Adam. The Torah does not give Shimon a right to be Mazik Ruvain. In the context that Shimon's walking off the job in the middle will be Mazik Ruvain, in that sense, he'll have to cover the losses incurred by Ruvain. The Chazal's case, obviously, are in their context, which was that I hired somebody to dye a certain amount of material for me. The material was put in the vat, and then he walked off the job in the middle. There's not going to be anybody to professionally take out and dry the material. The material is going to get ruined. I'm going to have to hire somebody else at a 50% rise. I only have to pay the first worker the difference between how much I'll have to pay for the rest of the job. But in that context, the hezik that the first worker is causing me will be on his expense. Chazal don't give him the right to cause me a hefsid.
If he's caused damage where he shouldn't go, where he has to stay, like my lambda, if he caused damage to the education of the children, they can't find someone for a month. He'll have to stay.
So it could very well be that as a malamed, he'll have to give a reckoning shemayim. But as
what about the damage to the children?
That's a very good question. As far as employment terms are concerned, there's nothing that can make you hold on to a malamed, besides for the chayshim mishpat context of that he'll have to hire somebody else. Now, obviously the boss will have to make the principal, the headmaster will have to make every effort in the world to hire somebody at as cost efficient as possible. Otherwise, if he says, I don't want to have to bother looking for somebody else, that will not be able to lessen the amount of wages he'll have to pay the first rebbe.
Supply teacher, which I use in the meantime, which costs more money, who pays for that?
I'm sorry?
The supply teacher, which I use in the meantime, till I get a regular one, who pays for that? He charges more money.
That goes off the first one's contract. That's a hezek. In that context, he doesn't have a right to cause hezek. Since the job is mechayev taking another rebbe, so in that context, that hefsid would not be within the rights of his chus, of self-protection, of self-definition. He would not be able to walk off the job. He'd be able to walk off the job, but it would work against his contract. Means that what happens, let's say he's worked a little bit, sometimes he'll have a rebbe, will take a job in September. By October 15th, he decides that he wants to go out to a different field of work. It's quite possible, first month in teaching. In that context, very often the cost of having to pay, like you say, a supply rebbe might even be more than the contract. Will that definition of mazik be mechayiving to pay the original head man, the original employer, that not. The mazik over here can only be used to diminish his contract with the original. It'll define that he didn't provide even September's work for the school. But it can't be mechayv mazik. There are contexts where we would define him as a mazik proper and then he would have to pay. If he walked off, let's say in the case where the vat was filled with material, that material will be ruined, there he's a proper mazik. It's what we call gamid din zokin. And if he walks off the job in the middle, he might very well have to pay for the material. If he walks off the job and the material gets ruined, very often it could happen. A person, a roofer comes, he opens up, he left the roof unprotected because he's starting to work, he took out the water protection, and then he walked off the job. Yes, yard site, he walked off for a week. Okay, so what happened now in the interim? Rain came in and ruined the carpet in the room. That's a mazik. That's a garmid din azok. In that context, they'll have to pay for the hazik they've done. Again, the boss has to do, the employer has to make every effort to cover himself to hire somebody else. He can't come to the worker and say, you're a mazik because my roof was open. He'll have to be on the phone for 2 hours the next morning to make phone calls to find somebody else. But if he can't, if it's legitimately not possible, and the roof was left open, sometimes the person was supposed to finish the job before Shabbos, came Friday, came 3 hours late, the house was left unprotected, rain came in, ruined the whole electric supply of half the house, he'll have to pay for that. That's a mazik prop. So that's a poel and a kaplan. Again, the definition of a poel is somebody whose time, whose talents, whose energy is employed by somebody else. And a kaplan in its most technical sense is somebody who's employed by himself, and with his own self-employment, he's providing somebody else with a service. Similar to the idea that if I have a shop, if I have a grocery store, the fact that I'm selling somebody bananas is not because I'm employed by him. I'm employed by myself. I provide a service and he pays me for that service. The same is true anytime a person has the ability to work for himself and set his own terms of employment. Now, if we want to get into specifics, and this is very important because in halacha we'll have to define each job, what will be the right of somebody who walks off the job in the middle, we'll have to always define if he's a poel in kavanah. It seems pretty clear. The lines, however, like everything else in life, there is a certain amount of gray area. In the simplest sense, halacha defines a poel as somebody who's paid by the hour. A kavanah is somebody who's paid by the job. If you're paid by the job, you make your own hours and you provide the service at your leisure. Obviously, if I'm hired to do a roof, I can't say, well, I was hired to do a roof. I have the next decade and a half to fix the roof. Obviously, the terms of providing that service are within reason for what that service stands for. Nobody's hiring an electrician, a roofer, a technician to fix something that should be ready in a year and a half. But a kaplan is somebody who's providing the service. There are gray areas. I'll give you a simple example. Whenever you go to Eretz Yisrael, there's two ways you jump into a cab. There's two ways of taking a cab across Yerushalayim. One way is what we call in Eretz Yisrael, putting it on the moneh. You put it on the meter, and you pay for the time. There's another way, where you make up with the driver a certain price for a certain distance, and you pay him for that. The conventional wisdom is that there should be a difference between the two. Somebody who you're paying for your time is a poel. Somebody who you're paying for the job, in total, is a kaplan. In that sense, what would be, let's say a driver is driving across town, and all of a sudden he's halfway across Yerushalayim and there's a hafganah, and it's not worth his time, or he gets another call of a high-paying job. If he's available in the next 5 minutes to start driving out to the airport, he could get a better-paying job. Can he quit in the middle of the day and leave his custom off? Now, there's an obvious lack of yashrus, but we're dealing now with strict, straightforward halakha lemaisa. Can he demand payment for half the job? Conventional wisdom would say that there's a difference between the two types of drivers. I believe, Lanias Daiti, that's not so. There are certain jobs where the way of defining the quality or the complication of the job is by timing it on the meter. Does that mean that you're paying him? Does that mean that when you make up with somebody 50 shekel across Yerushalayim, that you're paying him for a job, but his time is not committed to you? Can he, let's say, you know, there's something, I get into the cab, and then he stops 2 minutes, and he says, you know, I didn't eat breakfast. I'm going to take 20 minutes now in the shop to eat breakfast. Just wait here, say, till him for 20 minutes while I take care of my knee, and then the driver is meshubed right now to you. In that sense, it doesn't make a difference whether you pay the person for the job, whether the way of defining how big, long, complicated, hard the job is, will be defined as one lump sum, or if you do it on the meter, it doesn't make a difference. The flip side will be, let's say, a lawyer. I hire a lawyer to take care of a certain case, some legal work that I have. I give him the case. Lawyers bill by the hour. Does that mean that a lawyer is a kaplan? We all know lawyers. I think that lawyers are suspect, at least some of them, for working 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Anybody ever took a lawyer? Do you ever get an email at 3 o'clock in the morning? You see that lawyers sometimes work suspicious hours. Does that mean, because he's billing by the hour, doesn't that tell us that his time is not meshuggah to me? He took a job. He took the job and he's going to do the job at his convenience, when he makes the hours. The only thing is that in order to define how big of a job, a case is very not defined. It's very hard to know when you start out researching a case, if it's a 3-hour case, a 10-hour case, or a 30-hour case. The way for a client, an employee, to define how to pay for the job is by the hour. The fact that he's charging by the hour will not define him as a poel, he's a kaplan. And the same is true in many industries. So there are certain times when you pay somebody for the job, but you're really a poel. The point is that your time is committed to him. Right now, you're meshubed to sit in the seat. Doesn't make a difference if it's 9 to 5, or it's for the next 20 minutes while he's driving you. In that sense, he's a poel. Anybody who makes his own hours, who is his own boss, so to speak, but is providing the service, is a kaplan. Again, like we said, the fact that a poel could walk out in the middle of the day will not take away from his lack of right to be mazik somebody. The fact that he's mazik somebody by walking off in the middle will redefine the contractual obligation between the boss and between the employer. What's interesting is that there's two ways that the Rishonim define this halacha of poel yochalatz v'emtsuyem. Here's a touch of lamdas. Shulchan Aruch brings down two shittas. Is an eved, if we say that a person is a yid, is an eved to somebody else, if he's contractually obligated to work for him now, the hagoyis maimin is printed in the back of the Rambam, one of the Rishonim that's brought down the Ramon, Simon Shin Lamed Gimel, says, it's not the pshat that a Shimon cannot have a contractual obligation to work for Reuven. Shimon has a contractual obligation for Reuven. The right of his, in order that he shouldn't be Oivram, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, allows him to walk off the job. And he says something fascinating. He says, the same way an Eved, what's the halach of an Eved? Somebody is sold as an Eved Ivri. There's a halach of Giroin Kesef, where even though he's contractually obligated for the next 6 years to work for his master, his earthly master, the halach is he's allowed to buy out his freedom by paying the boss ahead of time. But he has to pay. Let's say he says, I want to walk off the job, and I'll work to make money in order to pay you off. No, he has to pay off because his time, his sense of self, is owned by his master. In order for him to be able to walk away, he has to pay the master. He has the right to buy his freedom back from the master. Says that Gois Mamis, that's exactly what's going on over here. Poel Yochel Latz of Emtsuyem means that he can return, either he cannot be paid for the work that he didn't do, which is the same thing, if he was prepaid, he could pay back the owner. What will be the nafkamina? Says that Gois Mamis, what will be the halacha if he received advance payment for a job? He's a poel, he received advance payment, he had spent the money. He had invested the money in something else. And now he doesn't have money to buy back his freedom, so to speak, from the boss. Does he have a right to walk off the job? No. Because his only ability is to have the wherewithal to be able to buy back his freedom. This is the chiddush of the Agoyis Maimonides. Other Rishonim disagree. They say no. What the Torah is telling us is that you can't have a contractual obligation in the first place to another yid. In which that's not that you have to buy back your freedom. You're not owned by the boss. You made a commitment, you made a contract with him, but you're not owned by the boss in the sense where he could commit you in any way. So even if we're talking about you were paid, and the money is a choyv, you have a right to walk off in the middle. You are not contractually obligated to him, and then you'll have a choyv. Again, there's a certain lack of yashrus in that. If somebody was paid for work that was done, he walks off and he leaves that as a choyv, and now the employer is left scrambling to pay somebody else to do the work, plus he doesn't have the money. He says, I'll pay you in installments monthly over the next 10 years. There's a decided lack of yashrus.
But in strict... Lack of yashrus if we say
Because for a person to, under the guise of being an Eved Hashem, to treat somebody else, that is the halacha. That is the halacha. But to use that sense of entitlement to disconvenience somebody else is...
So then he is obliged.
Strict halacha cannot be mechayvim. And you're right that there wouldn't even be, even lefnim mishuras adin. Lefnim mishuras adin is also a halacha. And you're right, there's no lefnim mishuras adin. There's maybe a lack of sensitivity. There's a lack of thinking about somebody else, but it would not be mechayim strict halacha. Very well put. Sometimes halacha, there's the letter of the law, and there's beyond. There's lefnim mishuras adin. Here, this would not be lefnim mishuras adin. What this will do is this will define just a sense, maybe a fairness, but it will not be mechayim contractually. That's only the as a general rule, the chayv din shemayim is only where an avlo was committed in a halachic sense. If I do somebody a ma'isa mazik, but it's not a proper ma'isa mazik where it would be mechayv in bezdin, but it's a garmi, it was a cause of something, but that's still by definition that I did something. Here I didn't do something. I'm within my rights to walk off. There might be a certain lack of sensitivity. So that's the general. Poel, kablan, what's the definition of poel, what's the definition of kablan, what's the right of a poel, what's the right of a kablan. We explained that kablan, even if he walks over the middle, you'll have to pay him for nene, in which case it'll have to be consistent with how much value he actually had from the work that was done. Poel, you'll have to pay for half the job, but we said that will not allow him to cause actual damage to somebody else in the sense of being a ma'aser. That's the basic structural dinim of poel and kablan. The halachas are discussed again in Chayshim Mishpat Shin Lamed Gimel. I'd like to bring out a point, and I think this is something that we could all walk away from as an inspiration from these parashas. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim v'loy avodim la'avodim. Briskerov one time said the pasuk in Yoyno, the haftarah that we read Yom Kippur by Mincha, they bring Yoyno up, the goyrel falls on him, ki b'shviloy hasaru v'asufu azeh, and the Mincha, they ask you, who are you and what do you do for a living? He answers, Ivri anoichi v'esalekei shemayim v'oretz ani yore. Briskerov says, they didn't ask him his religious, if he's a rabbi, if he's a layman, if he's a member of the clergy, not a member of the clergy. They asked him, what do you do for a living? Answer, are you a fisherman? Are you an accountant? Are you a lawyer? Are you an actuary? Answer, tzimzach. Briskerov says, no. The definition, employment of a yid, since he stood by Asina, is where in this world, in the context, in the Hashkofa context, of Poel Yochel Achsev Emtze Yoyim, of Avodim, V'loy Avodim L'Avodim, we do not work, us as believing Torah Yidu, we do not work for a master of Bas V'dam. Our job definition is Elekei Shemayim V'Oretzani Yore. The fact that we earn our daily bread, that we provide for our families, by doing a job, we're Kablonim. We're providing a service for somebody else, and society is built on the fact that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda provide services for each other. But that's not a sense of definition. Avodim means I have to be able to walk off the job in the middle because I have to be able to protect my identity as Elekei Shemayim V'Oretz Ani Yore. A fascinating Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Ovos, where Antignus Ish Soichoi, one of the Anshei Knesset Gadolim, taught that Havi Ke'eved Hamashamish Es Harav Shalei Amanas L'Kabel Pras. His Talmidim made a mistake, and they said, obviously, that the master was denying Tzchav O'inish. What's the real pshat? Says the Maral, it's not the pshat that he was saying, serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam, not for schar, because there is no schar. Your definition is not that you're your own boss, and you're providing a service for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're being paid. Your definition, your muhus, is hano, avdo dekutsu derichu. Yes, you will be paid by the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's not your definition. Your definition, your muhus, your identity, that which is stamped on your sense of self, is avodai l'kodesh baruch hu, l'kei shemayim v'oretz ani yore. In that sense, we always have to ask ourselves when we go out to provide for our families, if somebody asks us, I don't mean somebody asks us on the train. I mean if somebody asks, if we ask ourselves, what are we? Are we actuaries? Are we accountants? Are we lawyers? Are we doctors? Or are we Yidden? We're Ano Avda Dekutsu Brichu. The way we provide for our families, we're Kablonim. In that sense, we're our own bosses. Because ultimately, Ano Avda Dekutsu Brichu is a sense of Shichru. En Lecha Ben Chorin Ala Mishoisim Batoiro. Ein lecha ben chorin ela mi, who has that sense of pride, that sense of definition of ano abdu de kutcha berichu. Rabbeinu Hashem should give us the siyata d'shmaya, to always identify ourselves, not to lose ourselves in the work that we do day to day, to lose our sense of identity, to lose our sense of self-definition. We should retain our pride, our identity as ano abdu de kutcha berichu, ela keif shamayim v'aretz ani yorei, and the work that we do, and that's the real Kiddushim Shemayim, to be able to separate that which is Chai Shoh from Chai Olam, the Chai Olam that we all carry with us, we're all the same. Doesn't make a difference if we're in Kol, if we're Rabbonim, if we're going out into the workday. All of us have that same definition of Ano Avdi Kuchibuch. How we provide for our families, everybody, Kolechon Lefi Nusach Shaloi, Lefi his station in life. But we all have the same definition, Ano Avdi Kuchibuch.